for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday morning, December the 30th, 2004. Midwinter camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Diane Bejew of Bowbridge, Louisiana, is the speaker.
Always blessed when she sings, or when the song In the Presence of Jehovah is played and we sing it, because it truly is in the presence of Jehovah. And I just can't help but weep when I'm in His presence. There's just something about that song, and I really appreciate you playing it when we're here, and I'm sure at other times as well. It's good to see all the children back there. It's always good to see the children. They're a blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord. This is the day that You have made, Lord. We rejoice and we're glad in it, Father. Lord, I thank You that You've given me a message to bring forth to Your people, a timely message, a now message, Father, a today message, Lord. I take authority over all hindering spirits in the name of Jesus, Father. Lord, I pray that eyes will be opened, ears will be opened, Lord, to hear what the Spirit of God is saying, Father. Lord, that conviction and change will come, Father. Lord, that we can hear, truly hear with our heart of hearts what You're saying to us today. God, that it will, Lord, that there's hope in this message. There's hope for the future. There's hope for the day today, Father. And it's not something for in the next few months or the next few years, Lord, but it's something for today. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm probably going to move rather fast this morning. Last night I went to bed and I tossed and turned and tossed and turned. I had two or three messages rolling in my spirit, but none. I knew that none of them were what God wanted me to minister. And so it was one of those times when you say, okay, God, I'm at Your mercy. Brother Glenn has asked me to minister in the morning, and I have to have a message. And it's all up to You. How many of you know it's really always all up to Him? And so you have to put your confidence in Him, and you have to say, okay, I need a little bit of sleep. So this morning, about 4 o'clock, He woke me up, and He said, I want you to write, begin to write. And I want you to know, every one of you, within the sound of my voice, and those who will be hearing the tape, this message is for you. You're not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. It is a now message for you. It's a very serious message, and I hope I can deliver it in the way that God gave it to me. Amen? The name of the title of the message is Now is the Time. Now is the Time. And we're going to talk about the condition of the church, and with that will come the hope. Thank you. Will come the hope that we've all been looking for, the hope that we've been yearning for and saying, God, what happened? We're going to look at those, but we're going to look at them scripturally. I like to do everything according to the Word of God. And if it's not in the Word, I don't do it. Okay, so it's what God wants us to do now. And like I said, I'm going to move rather quickly. You might want to take your notes. I believe that it's always a good idea to bring your paper and pencil and take notes. So let's go to Nehemiah 1. We're going to be in Nehemiah, and we're also going to be in Ezra just a little bit. So Nehemiah 1 will be the first scripture that we'll begin to look at. We'll see the condition of the church. I'm going to start in verse 2. And Hanani, one of the brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left in the captivity and Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of captivity, those that have been in bondage, those that have been tossed to and fro, they're in the province or in great affliction. They're dilapidated. Their condition, they're in a very, very poor condition. So they're in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. So we see in verse 3 that there a remnant remains. I suggest to you today that you're part of the remnant that remains, because you're here because you want to find out the truth about what is going on and what God wants to do in your life. The wall that he's talking about is people. The people. Now, he's talking about the wall has been broken down. God's people have been broken down. They have been, if the enemy, and the scripture says, even if the elect could be deceived, they would be. The devil has been trying to deceive you and break you down for years. So the wall is the people. Now, the gates are is the ministry. The ministry that wherever you have been, or will be, but in this case it's the ministry that you've been. It's the power and authority that you have been under. Let's go to verse 4. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down. Please read with me. I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. It's no coincidence that God has me ministering this message today, and today happens to be what? Fast day. Fasting is very important, but he said he sat down. He wept and mourned and fasted and prayed. Verse 5, he says that, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and observe his commandments. He was reminding, Nehemiah was reminding God of his covenant with us. It's his we have a covenant with God. They had a covenant with God, and he was reminding him. And, you know, whenever we get into a situation that we don't understand, what do we need to do? We need to go to the Lord and say, God, your word says. We need to remind him of what he says, because all of those things that he says that apply to us, we have access to them if, as the sister was saying yesterday, if we will just appropriate it, if we just go out and take it, we have access to it. But you need to remind him that you know that you have a covenant with him. And I think we've been negligent in that area a bit. Verse 6 says, we'll now hear here it says, let thine ear be attentive and thine eyes open. Immediately when you hear that verse, you would think about Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. Let's turn there if you'd like. Because it's a very important scripture. It's one of my favorite. Put your name in there where it says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, because they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. So he was pleading with God to hear what his people were saying, to see and to hear the destruction and the condition of his people. And verse 7 says, listen real carefully to this. Underline it in your Bible if you like. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. I suggest to you that most of the a lot of the body of Christ today has gone whoring after other gods. They go, and I'm not picking on any particular denomination. I wouldn't do that. But motivational teachings are being taught rather than the Word of God. I didn't grow up and learn to be and be what I am today because I was fed motivational teaching. I was fed the Word of God. I memorized the Word of God. I put it deep in my heart. I inclined my ear. I saw it with my eyes. I wanted to know more about God and what God said. All this other is just people talk. And what do you say? You know the old cliche, talk is cheap. Well, that talk is cheap. But I tell you that in hard times, you can't stand on motivational teachings. I was a salesperson. I that was my profession, sales. You can go to motivational speaking and seminars all you want to, but when you bring it back home, it depends on what you do with it. And before you know it, that just kind of fades away. The Word of God never fades away. It will always be here. And so you want to remember that right now he's right there. He's talking about our condition. So I suggest to you, what is your condition today? Where are you spiritually? These people were in a dilapidated condition. They were not in a good place. They didn't have a pastor anymore. They didn't have a fellowship where they could go. They could go to one another. They probably had one or two little friends or acquaintances they could go to and talk to. But for the most part, gathering as a body was not something they could do or that they did do. So they were isolated. They were alone. Have you felt isolated, deserted, or alone in your Christian walk? Yes, you have. Why do I say that? Because I also have. Amen. Verse 8 says, "Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress." Now, this tells you exactly what happened to you. If you transgress, I will scatter you among the nations. Has God scattered his people? Or have his people been scattered? They're all over. You come here. You know, I come and I am here at the 6 o'clock intercessory prayer. And we pray for people. So I have an opportunity to hear your heart. And your heart says, I'm alone. I've been scattered. I need help. Most of us come here because we need help. When Brother Ronnie and I first came here, we came because we needed help. We were in a state of desperation. And that's why many of you have come this time. That's why many of you continue to come, because God continues to do the work. You come because God sends prophets and he sends speakers in here that are not afraid to tell you the truth, that are not afraid to take the word of God and say, this is what it says. Take it or leave it, but this is still what it says. A lot of churches that you go into today, you can't do that because they want a watered-down gospel. Well, I'm here to tell you today, I do not preach a watered-down gospel, and I never will, according to what I believe the Word of God says. Amen? And I hope that you never do either. Verse 9 says, Verse 8. Okay, he said that he will scatter you. Scattered. So we have a very fragmented body today. A very fragmented body. We have people here from Washington State, Illinois, New York. We have people from all over the United States. Why do you think that all of these people, all of you, including us, are coming here from all over the United States? Because it's been a fragmented body that says, I've got to be able to attach to somebody. Be like a little mercury. You know, when you take mercury from here and you take mercury from there and there, what do? It just kind of all comes together, doesn't it? And then you can't separate it, or if you separate it, it's not ever going to be like it was before it went together. Is that correct? Is that correct? Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. Verse 9 says, but, here's your hope. We were scattered, but if you turn to me and keep my commandments and do them. So what does it say to do? Turn. Come on. Turn, keep, do. Is that what it says? If you will turn to me, if you will keep my commandments. When you talk about the commandments, if you keep my word, if you'll keep my word, if you stay in the presence of Jehovah, if you will do them, then this is what I'll do for you. Though you were cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet, oh, praise God, you should be getting excited if you've read ahead. Have you read ahead? What does he say he's going to do? Hallelujah. He says, yet. Come on, let's read it together. Yet will I gather. Hallelujah. I'll gather them from thence and bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. You should be up and jumping in your chairs, because what is he going to do? He's gathering. He's gathering. I don't know about you, but I get excited. He's gathering. He's gathering. He's putting you to a place where he has chosen. You didn't choose it. Maybe you thought you did, but you didn't choose it. God chose it for you. Praise God. I'm so excited about that he chose the place where I am today, where we're going, what we're doing. God has chosen it for me. I choose to walk in it. I choose to submit to it. I choose to commit to it every day. Every day. Every day. Praise God. So the gathering will take place. Now, he says, now these are the servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech you, let thine ear be attentive. He said it a second time in the same chapter. Is it important? Yes, it's important. He said it a second time. Saying it once is important. A second time is. And he said, let thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Nehemiah was a prophet. Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king. Well, a cupbearer had a pretty awesome responsibility. If the king was served something to drink, the cupbearer is the one who took it to him, but the cupbearer also took a swallow of that before giving it to the king. And he did that because if there was poison in it, guess who was going to die first? It wasn't going to be the king. Did y'all know that? Did you know that? Okay. Yeah, that's true. And if it was food, if it was poisonous, that was the purpose of the cupbearer. Now, we have cupbearers today that hold up ministries and work in the ministry, or elders in ministries, or the support of the ministry. And there are a couple of books out there, Cupbearer 1 and Cupbearer 2. And if you haven't read those, I suggest that you read those. They're awesome, awesome material for you to read. Now, let's drop down to chapter 2, and let's go to verse 8. Nehemiah had to petition the king to be able to go to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls. And as his cupbearer, Nehemiah would appear before the king, and the king noticed that he was of a sad countenance. Many of you this morning, quite a few of you this morning that I ministered to or helped minister to, I looked at you and I said, and now over the course of the days that you have been here and we've been in intercessory prayer, I looked at you today and I could see your countenance had changed. There had been a breakthrough. You were delivered from and coming out of. And some of you that I've known before, your countenance has totally changed. And you can tell that you've been touched by the Lord. And that's an exciting thing, that you've been touched by the Lord. So the king saw that Nehemiah's face was down. His countenance was sad. He said, what's the matter? He said, well, it'd be like Brother Glenn. It'd be like Brother Glenn saying, Brother Glenn, your countenance, what's the matter? Brother Glenn, which he did years ago when the Lord instructed him to come here. He said, Lord, King, he said, my people are perishing. They're scattered. They're in a horrible condition. I need to go and try to rebuild the people. I need to go and try to rebuild the ministries, to do what I can to rebuild ministries that have been torn down because of all these demonic things that happen, that take place in a ministry. So Brother Glenn came here and he started this place so you could come and be set free by the power of God. So he said, I need to go to Jerusalem. He said, what do you need to go to Jerusalem for? He said, I need to rebuild the walls of the temple. Need to rebuild the walls of the temple of the city. And so the king asked him. He said, well, this will be a logical question. Okay, Nehemiah, how long are you going to be gone? How long do you plan to go? You take a leave of absence at work. What do they tell you? Well, you say, how long do you need to be gone? You want to go 2 weeks, a month, 6 months? What? How long will you be gone? When are you going to return? There's a time set. There was a time set. In verse 8, he said, and the king granted me according to the good hand of my God, and he also set a time for him to come back. The assignment was given. The completion date was set. Nehemiah had an assignment from God. You have an assignment from God. Maybe you've lost sight of that assignment, but nevertheless, you have an assignment for God. Everyone in the sound of this voice has an assignment for God. He has called you to do something special. He has laid upon you and your heart special gifting, special talents that perhaps you haven't been using. Perhaps you set them aside saying, you know, it's just not much point in this. I don't think I'm too old. I'm not going to do that. You know, a lot of these mega churches have young congregations. And you know what? When you have salt and pepper, there's not much. You're kind of antique out there in those churches. But and there's not really a place for you. But you know what? God makes room for you somewhere else. You can't hold anything against those bodies, because they're doing what they think, just like we did 20 years ago. Amen? Hallelujah. So God granted permission for Nehemiah to go and rebuild the walls, and he gave him that assignment. Now, Nehemiah views the walls. He viewed the ministry. He went and he got on his horse and he went all around the city and he viewed the ministry. Have you viewed your ministry? Have you taken a tour around your heart and viewed your ministry? God has a ministry for you. It's pretty. God has a ministry for you. Have you viewed it? When's the last time you visited that heart? When's the last time you went to that place that where he called you to do something? To do something specific. Have you been there lately? Is it time to go? Is it time to go around the city? You haven't been there because you've been broken down and dilapidated. You've almost come, many of you, have almost at the place of utter destruction. You're coming here because it's your last hope. I'm here to tell you today, you have what? You have hope. Let's say, I have hope today. Come on. Now say it like you mean it. I have hope today. Yes, indeed, we have hope today. Hope today. And if you don't, I want you to come up here, because I'm going to pray for you. Because we're going to have that impartation of hope and being alive again in him. So I believe that today the Lord wants to grant permission to you for you to view your spiritual condition. If you needed permission to go there, you have permission to go there. You have permission to go back to the last thing that God spoke to you to do. How many of you remember the last thing God told you to do that you haven't done? Come on, let me see. How many of you remember? Don't remember the last thing?
Well, hallelujah, we're going to have a bigger altar call.
Hallelujah. Yes, God, I know that if God speaks to me, he speaks to you. I know that. Remember this, when he granted permission for you to go and view your spiritual house, the scripture says what? Judgment begins where? In the house of the Lord. So you have to judge you and what you have and have not done. That's pretty sobering. So now let's just don't get there. Okay, so let's go down to verse 11 or so. We're going to talk about Nehemiah encourages the people to rebuild the walls, rebuild the temple. I'm encouraging you today to rebuild your spiritual condition, to come up where God wants you to be. He doesn't want you in the dust realm. He wants you up here, high and lifted up with him. In the presence of Jehovah is not walking on the ground. It's not in the dust realm. Where is it? Raise your hand. Show me where it is. It's up here. That's where it is. And that's where God wants you to be. Amen? So Nehemiah encourages, in verse 17, Nehemiah says, you see the distress that we're in. I'm not saying all this. The scripture is saying this. And he put things in the scripture because there were going to be a pattern or something for us to look at and say, hey, this is for me. This is for me today. You see the distress that we're in. You see how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, Nehemiah is telling them. I'm telling you, come. Let us rebuild, or let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Would you say that Christians have, for the most part, in these last few years, become a reproach? Yes, indeed. But you know what? Thank God, God began this last year raising a standard again. Christians came together. Christians said, no, you're not going to do what you're trying to do, devil. We thought it was awfully close. But who prevailed? God prevailed. Why? Because the Christians came together, because moral values were an issue, because the Word of God still is still truth. It's still true. It's still something that basically we all believe in, the principles that are set forth in the Word of God. You don't like same-sex marriages. You don't like homosexuality. That's sin. And I tell you what, to the day I take my last breath, I'll fight against those things. And I'd like to say that every one of you will do the same thing. You will fight even if your life depends on it. You stand for what the Bible says. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, let me see. Where am I? Okay. He said that we're no more reproach. There'll be no more shame. Now is the time. Say, now is the time. Now say, now is the time for me to begin to rebuild my life. You may be sitting there saying, this doesn't apply to me. It really does. It really does. Now, I like this. A lot of times, you know, sometimes preacher will get up and he'll say, this is where I think you are. This is what I think you ought to do. And a lot of times, what happens? Well, this little thing stands up inside of us and says, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't believe he heard from God. I believe he's off his rocker. The people didn't do that, though. Look at verse 10. Is it verse 10? Verse 10. No, it's not verse 10. It must be verse 18. The people said, he said, then I told them of the hand of my God which is upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken to me. And they said, the people said, you're saying, let us rise up and build. That's what you did a few months ago when you voted. That's what you did. You said, let's rise up and build again. All those moral values that were torn down, let's rise up and build again. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So they strengthened their hands. They strengthened their hands for this good work. Do you need strength today? Do you need strength today?
Yes.
If you need strength, you just got it. The Word just spoke it to you. You can commit in your heart and say, I'm going to rise up. I'm going to rebuild this life. Even if you think you're doing okay, and even if things are going well for you, there's still an area or two in there, I know there is for me, that God wants to rebuild. He wants to encourage you in. And he said, let us get up. Let us rebuild. The people said, let us rebuild. Let us do that. And what did he do? Ta-da! People don't know, but, you know, I have strength again. Whatever. Bodybuilders, you know. I have strength again. I can do whatever he says to do. Isn't that right, Brother Glenn? Amen. Amen. So the people replied, and what did they have? They were encouraged. They had hope. For the first time in a long time, they could see things were going to change. Things were going to change, and they had hope. So what were they going to rebuild? What are you going to rebuild? What are you going to rebuild? The spiritual walls that have been torn down. You're going to rebuild all that stuff that was stolen from you. The enemy came in and he stole from you. The enemy has come in and stole from you. But I'm here to tell you today, you're not here by accident. The word of the Lord has sent you here. He sent you here for a duration. He said there have been many things in your past that have happened that you have said, I don't know why these things have happened to me. But God says to you, he says, you're beautiful to me. You're my child. You're beautiful to me. And I have brought you here so you can be built up in me. And those things that have concerned you, those things that have caused you deep, deep, deep hurt, and those disappointments, God says, I'm going to begin to mend that heart. I'm going to begin to mend that heart. And when you leave this place, you will take the hope and the glory of me with you everywhere that you go. Stand fast. Stand firm. Don't run. Don't run. Don't run. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, it's and I don't mean to get teary-eyed, but when you see what God is doing, when you see the conditions,
And then you see the change. You see what God is doing. I don't know about you, but I guess I'd have been a good Jeremiah with a weeping prophet, because I can't help but just weep about what God is doing. And I thank Him for it. I'm so excited about it. You're going to build up spiritual walls. What about those belief systems you used to have? What about that? Are you going to build that up again? Are you going to find out really what you believe and why you believe it? Is it going to be what the Word says? Or is it going to be what a preacher got up and told you? Is it going to be what we get up here and say, you must always go check it out? Is it going to be that? No, you're going to build up your belief system again. Some of those things. Now, I'm a metal. It's a little bit. I got a metal a little bit. Those things that you let come in through the eye gate. Those things that you let come in through the ear gate. A few years ago, you would not have entertained watching someone in a little bikini run up and down the beach on your and watching that on your TV screen. Is that true? Is that true? Am I speaking truth? You would not have listened to some of the garbage that you listen to, because it's an abomination to our Father. It is an absolute abomination to our Father. We justify it. We have become desensitized to what the Spirit of God has said, what the Word says. I'm not condemning you, and I'm not judging you. The Lord does that. I'm just merely making a suggestion of some things that could possibly need to be looked at in your life. Who is being glorified in your life? Is it our Father? Is anything that's not of Him going to stand? So why would we want to glorify anybody but Him? You know, you're precious to the Lord. Absolutely precious to the Lord. And I am excited to see all you young men not ashamed of the gospel. Speak a blessing to you. Hallelujah. Okay, so everything that has been destroyed, everything that has been fragmented, this is what you need to do. My daddy died when I was 16. I miss the fact that I didn't have a daddy. But you know what? I have dad over here that I call dad, because you know what? You like to have somebody to call daddy. I do, anyway. Oh, where was I going? Well, I got... This is what you need to do. Wait, let me see if I have it on here. If I have a note over here. You know, my daddy used to always tell us, he said, when something happens to you and you fall, you get up, you dust yourself off, and you start over. I mean, he told us that from when we were little bitty kids. To this day, I remember it. So, fathers, are your words important to your children? Oh, you have no idea how important. I think I remember almost every word of any significance that my daddy told me. And he was a man of few words. So I remember a lot of what he told you. So what I'm saying is, pick up the pieces. Wherever you are, whatever condition, pick up the pieces. Start over. I mean, it's fine. Pick them up and start over. And don't look back. Don't look back. Don't go visit that old graveyard. Don't go visit that old graveyard. Amen? Okay, let's go over to Ezra for a minute. Hallelujah. We're going to go to Ezra, where are we? Ezra 7, and I'm just going to look at a couple of things there. Actually, I'm just going to talk to you about a couple of things there. But what I want to say to you is this is what I want you to know, is that when God is using His prophets to say something here to you, be assured that He's doing it all over the country. It's not just here. Last time I was here, I preached a message on Jericho and the walls coming down. Do you know within the next 2 weeks, several ministers, renowned ministers, big name ministers, ministered the identical thing, Brother Glenn. Brother Ronnie was out somewhere ministering. He called me up and he said, you'll never guess, who was it preaching that? Phil Driscoll was ministering the identical message. Others ministered the identical message about the walls coming down. So we broke all those walls that you had back then. But what I, The message is being taught all over the world. The same message you're hearing when it's a God thing. Now, if it's not a God thing, it's just another message. There's not anointing on it. It's just another message. So Nehemiah was there, and he had permission from the king to go. So he had permission granted. Well, his buddy, who was a scribe, Ezra, had the same burden. All of you have the same burden for the body of Christ. You have it for yourself, but you have it for the body of Christ. You all have the same burden. Ezra had the same burden. He said, look, my people, my brothers and sisters in Christ are being destroyed. And I want to do something to help. I've got to help rebuild them. I've got to go. And I've got to be part of that rebuilding team, building up those walls. So what did he do? Now, Ezra was a scholar. He knew the word. He knew the word. And he was a scholar. So he had to do the same thing. He had to get permission from the king to go meet Nehemiah. So he did. He got permission from the king. The king granted him permission. And so he said he made the same application. He had the same burden. And permission was granted. One scripture I want you to look at. And I think it's so exciting. Ezra 7, verse 22. Jot this down. It says, let me do 21. And I, even I, Artaxerxes the king, do make a decree to all the treasures which are beyond the river, that whatsoever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of heaven, shall require of you, it be done speedily. All right, so he said, and he's saying to you today, go and do it right now. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait until 6 months down the road, because let me tell you what, it will pass you by. If you don't take this word today and begin to make application, it will pass you by. And I'm not trying to put any fear on you, but it will pass you by. Now, verse 22 says, unto 100 talents of silver, and to 100 measures of wheat, and to 100 baths of wine, and to 100 baths of oil, and salt without prescribing how much. Listen to this. You know, we've heard about the double portion, the double anointing, etc. What is this? This is 100-fold, isn't it? He said, 100 talents of silver, the fullness of redemption. 100 measures of wheat, the fullness of the word. 100 baths of wine, fullness of joy. Couldn't you use a little more joy today? Hallelujah. 100 baths of oil, the fullness of anointing. And it said, salt, that you're fully preserved. Do you know you have a 100-fold return on everything? What did it say? On the anointing, on joy, you're fully preserved. I'd be shouting. I was shouting. Okay. Are y'all getting anything out of this? Hallelujah. All right, let's go to Nehemiah 8, and we're going to wind it down. Begin winding it down. You know, in every camp meeting, there's a thread that is woven through, and it's said, this is said every camp meeting. There's a thread that is sewn through that makes up the theme of the camp meeting. I believe it was Brother Chris, on the first night that he ministered, said this same thing. Nehemiah 8:1, he said, and all the people gathered themselves together, let's say it together, as one man into the street that was before the water gate. Now, we're talking about this one man, and quite a few years ago, there was lots of ministry on the one man, on the many-membered body. Right, Brother Glenn? And so that kind of waned, but today God is saying, I'm gathering you together again as one new man. I'm gathering you together as one body, functioning, doing my work. Begin
begin now rebuilding the prophets, rebuilding the people, rebuilding leadership. Do you know how many leaders they're burnt out? They're so devastated because of what has happened, the condition. God wants to raise those leaders back up. God wants to raise His people back up. That's what He's told us through these two books. God builds the people. People make up the church. But God does the building of the people. It's not up to us to go and we can disciple them, but we can't change them. And we can't get into witchcraft over it and pray this, that, and the other for them. That's none of our business. That's God's business. Amen? So God was looking for a man. God has always had a man to lead His people. Always had a man to lead His people. And it's not any different today. God has a man to lead His people. Or a woman. A man or a woman. When I say man, we understand that that's either one. Okay. What did He see when He viewed the walls? We're going to go back to that in just a minute. He viewed those walls. He saw no church. He saw fragmented people. He saw burnt out ministries. He saw no life. He saw people in a very desperate condition. That's what He saw. So, He had a plan. Psalm 119:130. I'm just going to flip over there. You can write it down, jot it down, or you can turn there, whichever. 119:130 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." God wants you to understand what's happening. God wants you to understand His Word. God wants you to do something else. He wants you to keep it simple. He does not want you to complicate things. Now, I could get up here and I could preach all kind of stuff to you and use all kind of theories and theorems. That's not what God wants. He's simple. His Word is simple. Has any of this been difficult for you to understand? It comes right out of the Word. God wants you to keep it simple. But He wants you to have understanding of the Word. Nehemiah had the mound of Christ. I tell you already that he's a prophet. But God gave him a plan. And like I said, God's desire is always to have a people. So Ezra comes over, and Ezra is the priest. And in verse 2 of Nehemiah 8, Ezra the priest brought the word of God before the congregation of men and women and all that could hear with understanding to the first day. So the word of God today is being brought to people that can understand the word. It's not being brought to people that can't understand it. You know, their time will come when they will begin to, but right now it's being brought to you for you to have understanding of the word. Do you understand that? Everybody get that? So, if you're building something, let's make it practical. If you're building something, what good is it for you to have a blueprint if you don't understand it? It can't help you if you have a blueprint. If you have a house, if you have a blueprint for a house and you want to build a house, but you don't know how to read the blueprint, is that going to help you? It's just a piece of paper with a bunch of numbers and little drawings on it, huh? Ladies, if you sew and you get a pattern and you look at it and go, what does all this mean, stay stitch and 5/8 inch and all that right side, wrong side? If you don't understand what that means, you can't sew up that garment correctly, can you? Okay, so God used Nehemiah to give us the plan. And He wanted to give His people understanding. Now, in understanding, what does that translate? That translates into you will find or go back to your purpose. You'll go back to your callings. You will go back to the giftings that God has given you. I'm not going there, but you can write down Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12. I think Brother Ronnie may touch on some of that tonight. But you will find your purpose. How many of you need to find your purpose again? How many of you need to find your calling? How many of you know what your giftings are? And you're ready to walk in your giftings, but you lost them somewhere along the way. Have you lost your giftings along the way? It's possible, huh?
Okay. So several times he says, Ezra said, verse 5, he said, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, right in front of you, read from the book. Just what I'm doing right here. I'm reading from the book, straight from the book. For he was above all the people. That was only because they built a podium. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. All the people stood up when he opened the book to read it. They all stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord. What is the first thing we need to do? First thing in the morning, what do you need to do? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Give him honor. Give him glory. Give him praise. Just worship him. Let me tell you what, when you start out your day with worshiping God, he has so many opportunities for you along the way. And I can tell you what, that little list you had of things to do, just wad it up and throw it away because it's not going to apply anymore. It's not going to apply. I promise you it's not going to apply. Okay, so Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen. So be it, so be it. What did they do? They, come on, come on, come on. Application. They lifted their hands. Come on. I want you to lift your hands. I want all of you to lift your hands. That's what the scripture said. Bless the Lord. Let's say, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Hallelujah. Yes, we can sing that song. Praise the Lord. We worship you, Father. You're a mighty God. We give glory and honor to you this day, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They lifted their hands. They bowed their heads. And what did they do? And they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. When's the last time you worshiped the Lord with your face to the ground? I'm speaking to me, too. I'm speaking to me, too. Yeah, I sit in my little chair, but when's the last time? It's with my face to the ground. Hallelujah. Now, verse 7, I'm not reading all those names. You might want to read them, but I can't. I can't pronounce them. But there are 14 names. Now, if you don't jump up and down on this, I'm going to really pray for you. There were 14 names there. You know what the number 14 stands for? The number of 14 stands for salvation and deliverance. Salvation and deliverance. So they blessed the Lord. Then they had all these guys. I say they were ministers, they were prophets, they were whatever. But 14 of them came along and said, we're going to minister salvation. We're going to minister deliverance to you. You're going to be set free. You're going to understand the word. You're going to be able to go and do what God has called you to do. No more hindrances. No more hindrances whatsoever. And so they read the book in the book of the law. God distinctly... of law of God distinctly. And what does it say? And gave sense. That's what the word says. He said, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. So all these people. So, you know, that's a good, it's a good argument. It's a good, all right, argument. If somebody says, you don't need anybody to help you understand. False. Wrong. You do need each other. We all need each other to help us understand the Word. We all need each other. And to bring clarity and clarification, to bring verification of the Word and what it means and what God's saying. You know, we don't have that discernment. But you learn to read the Word and discern it as you read it. It's awesome. It's awesome when you can do that. Okay, and so then Nehemiah says, and the Levites taught the people and said unto the people, listen carefully, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, weep, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the word of the law, or when they heard the word of God. Why did all the people weep? They wept because they were under conviction, because they had gone elsewhere looking for what only God could give them. Only our Father could give them. So they wept. I believe they probably fell on their face saying, God, forgive me. I repent for all of that other stuff, junk. And I wasn't in here last night, but I did hear a little bit about what Brother Howard was talking about. It seems to me that we all need to be checking our salvation. No? But David came under great conviction, I believe. But he said, don't despair. Don't despair. Because today is holy. It's a holy day. It's a now time for you. If any of you have, whatever you have, God says, don't weep about it. Don't mourn about it. It's all taken care of. Because I'm revealing these things to you so you can do something about it. Is that right? Is that why he's doing it? Yeah. Okay. So, mourn not nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard these words. Then he said unto them, now these are the instructions for you. God always gives instructions. I believe he always gives instructions. What did he say? The words of it. Verse 10. Then he said unto them, go your way. All of us will be leaving at the end of this camp meeting. Most of us will be leaving. We'll all be going back to our homes, our dwelling places. We'll be going back to our jobs. We'll be going back to family members. We'll be going back to some situations that we left that maybe weren't so pleasant. Nevertheless, we'll be going back. He said, go your way. You're going back. I've given you some instructions. I'm giving you now. Eat the fat. Eat the fat. Fat is what? Fat translates into oil, doesn't it? Okay. Eat the fat. Go chew on the word. Go chew on the word some more. Drink the sweet. His word is sweet. He gives you water for a thirsty soul. That's what he's doing today. You've been a thirsty soul. He's giving you water. He's giving you something to sustain you. He's giving you water for a thirsty soul. And send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. Don't we all know someone who needs a fresh touch? Could be your family members. Could be your neighbors. Could be people that you went to church with. You know, when we were in Bible college, when Brother Ronnie and I were in Bible college, there were hundreds of people there. Do you know, we see many, many of them on the street today, and they're not serving God anymore. They've turned their back on God because they've been hurt. They've been crushed. Somebody has come in and mutilated them. Somebody has just done a number on them. Somebody has violated them scripturally. I mean, not scripturally. Violated them spiritually. And they couldn't get over it. And you know what? There wasn't anybody there to hold their hand. To hold their hand and say, come on up. Come on up. Let me help you. Let me help strengthen you and repair the damage that's been done. So God says, send your portions unto them that nothing has been prepared. There's nothing prepared for them anymore. They're not in a place where they can receive it. But you can take it to them. You can take it to them. God's calling you today to take it to them. God's calling you today to take it. For this day is holy unto our God, our Lord. Now, I don't know, in your Bible it says Lord, L-O-R-D, capital letters. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Jane sang that song, the joy. She was singing about the joy this morning. Yes, the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you lose your joy, you lose it. I can tell you, you lose it. And everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. Oh, do whatever you can to protect that joy. Because that joy is the peace. That joy is the strength. That joy is what propels you to go and do. Isn't it? Yeah, you got to have joy. Okay. It says in verse 11, so the Levites stilled all the people. Hold your peace, for the day is holy. Be not grieved. And that word grieved there means don't be depressed. Don't be depressed. It's not a time for depression. We don't have time. You know what? We don't have time for depression. We don't have time to keep on fighting the enemy with the same things over and over and over and over. Yes, come and receive your deliverance, receive whatever. But you know what? It's your responsibility when you leave here and that thing tries to come back. It's your responsibility to walk it out in the flesh. It's not your, you know, to come here every time for the same thing over and over and over again. Mm-mm. It means that you haven't done your homework when you went home. It means that you haven't stayed before the Father and said, I got delivered of that from that spirit. Now, I want to make sure that my house is what it's supposed to be. And I'm not taking it back because it's going to come back sevenfold. It's going to come back that much worse. I don't want that. So I just encourage each one of you that have received some major deliverance today. The enemy is going to come against you like a flood when you get home. But you have what it takes to walk it out in the flesh. You have what it takes through the Lord, not in your own, within your own being, your own self. You have what it takes. You'll make it. You have what it takes. Whenever he comes against you, you quote the word to him. Just quote the word to him. Okay, and let's end with this verse, and it says, and all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth because they had understood the words that were declared to them. So they were what? They were obedient to what the Lord instructed them to do. They were going to go their way and eat and drink and et cetera, but they weren't going to just keep it for themselves. Now, he didn't say, tomorrow go your way. He didn't say, go take it in a month from now. When did he say, take it? Now. Now is the time. Now is the day. Amen? I don't know about you, but I was very excited when he shared all this with me to share with you because it's powerful. If you would take it and chew it and read it and study it, it's powerful. There's a whole lot in there. There's a whole lot in there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister Jane, could I get you to come and play, please? I'm going to ask her to play my favorite. And I'm going to ask you, because I believe this is what the Lord instructed me to do. I believe that each one of you have been touched by the word, what God had to say to you. I believe there have been some areas in your life that God said, I want to clean up. Some of those areas that you've been hurt. And I believe that God wants to begin to rebuild the walls that have been torn down, all those ministries. And I believe he wants to rebuild you as a person. I believe he wants you to be strong in him so you can go and you can share it with your neighbors. You can begin to proclaim the word of God in a way that you just haven't had the boldness, but you just haven't had the want to. You just really haven't had the want to. And the reason you haven't had the want to is because somewhere deep within, we begin to think, Lord, I know it's true because the Word says it, and I believe the Bible. I believe your Word. But you know what, God? I'm a little discouraged. I'm just a little discouraged. And I know that some of you, because the Holy Ghost is telling me that. I know that some of you. I know that's why you aren't sharing it with the fervency and the fire that you used to have. I believe that God wants to touch each one of you today. I believe that he wants to give you a divine impartation from the ministry. Lay hands on you. Anoint you with oil. Lay hands on you and say, go, eat the fat. Drink the drink. Take it to your community. I know that's what God wants. I know God wants you to be anointed and say, this importation is for you. It's for you to be built up again.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.